0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Brendan Rodgers says he's relaxed about Matt O'Reilly's future as they gear up to face Manchester City. Rangers travel to face Birmingham, but will Connor Goldson be involved? And the Premier Sports Cup group stages continue tonight. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Roger Hannah.
It's all happening, Andrew. As you say, Premier Sports Cup, the last, almost the last of the pre-season friendlies. It won't be too long till the big stuff kicks off. And of course, when you really know the season's upon you, the start of the two-hour shows on Monday.
Yes, the start of the two-hour shows on Monday. It will be back full bells and whistles, just an hour for the rest of this week, and we'll have a lot to cram in as well, because as you say, they are more competitive games tonight in the Premier Sports Cup. Celtic are playing against Manchester City in a friendly tonight. Brendan Rodgers has been speaking about Matt O'Reilly's future. He's been speaking about his new signing, Kasper Schmeichel, as well. There's a lot to get into with Connor Goldson as well, because yesterday it looked as if he was potentially on his way to Cyprus, was the chat. A lot of social media talk about that. Today, it looks as if he's been spotted boarding a plane with Rangers down to their pre-season friendly against Birmingham City.
Yeah, and it's normally at this time in the season, Andrew, you get callers phoning this show to talk about incoming transfers. The Rangers situation at the minute, it's all about outgoing transfers. After Philippe Clement said 10 days ago he needs to sell before he can buy, it's a case of who gets sold first. Is it Goldson? Is it Todd Cantwell? Is it James Tavernier? Is it Scott Wright? Does the Yanis Hadji move go through? Who else could possibly leave Rangers the next few days?
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, what do you make of the Matt O'Reilly situation? A bid rejected yesterday from Atalanta, a second bid reported to be £14.3 million plus add-ons. Rangers fans, what about Connor Goldson? Yesterday it looked as if he was maybe away. Today it looks as if he could be involved in their upcoming friendly against Birmingham City. Maybe your team is in Premier Sports Cup action tonight and you want to talk about it, or maybe you're an excited St Mirren or Kilmarnock fan with big European games coming up this week. 0141 951 1025. We certainly can't overlook those games. We'll have more build-up over the next couple of days, both playing on Thursday night, but the excitement will really be hitting home for the Kilmarnock fans that will be heading along to Rugby Park on Thursday, or the St Mirren fans that will be making their way to Iceland.
Well, I mean, they'll be heading away. If they're not heading away today, they'll be heading away tomorrow up to Reykjavik for the first leg against Valur. It's 38 years, Andrew, since their last European adventure. It's an enormous night for St Mirren Football Club. And next week in Paisley, be fantastic for them as well. And good luck to them, and good luck to Kelly. And you look, you see the draw that was made yesterday for who they might get if they progress beyond this round. It might just open up for them.
Well, any thoughts on any of these topics, give us a call. Maybe there's something that we haven't mentioned that you want to talk about. 0141 951 1025 is the number you need, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. While you get your calls in, let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. He's been speaking over in America, Celtic in North Carolina, because they're due to play Manchester City. I think it's at 12:30 tonight is kickoff. He, of course, was asked about Matt O'Reilly. He is basically the main man when it comes to talking points for Celtic at the moment. Brendan Rodgers says that Celtic are relaxed about the current interest in Matt O'Reilly. However, he knows they can't compete with the wages other teams can offer.
There's no update. We're fairly relaxed. He's you see him in the game the other night. He's working very well, very focused. And naturally, when you're a really good player, and especially a young player who's as committed and professional as he is, then he's going to obviously acquire attention. But now he's working so well, and there's nothing really to report on him. I think we all understand that the people that are close to Celtic understand that the model that Celtic works. Matt's been at the club for 3 years. He's developed into the player that he has. He knows the privilege it is to play for Celtic. Naturally, how it works is the players get that opportunity to move on. Now, Celtic is a club where you can move on, but you don't have to. And it's a very difficult club to move on from. But naturally, with the wages that are on offer for players, then that makes it a real challenge for Celtic to compete at that level. But what I've seen with Matt, he's a first-class professional. He's a really, really humble guy. He's very devoted to his profession. And he knows what he has here. So we're all quite relaxed with it. Every player has a value, we know that. But we see him as a really important player for us. And whilst he is here, we'll continue to develop him and help him improve.
Brendan Rodgers saying he and the club are very relaxed when it comes to Matt O'Reilly. Do they just have to be given that that is the transfer model that they operate with, that they actively want to operate with, in bringing players in for a lower value, selling them for a higher value? They know that if players are going to be successful at Celtic, there will be potential suitors out there.
Yeah, and they're relaxed for a number of reasons. A, because they don't need the money at the minute. B, because Matt O'Reilly isn't the type who, for now, is agitating to get a move. And also, I mean, you mentioned a figure there, £14.5 million from Atalanta. Celtic will want vastly in excess of that. And I think Celtic hope that before the end of the window, and there's still about 5.5 weeks of this transfer window to go, others will be lured into the bidding. Could Atletico Madrid come back? There's been talk about, you know, Southampton, with his former manager, Russell Martin, down south. Girona was mentioned in the past as well. I think Celtic will regard £14.5 million as derogatory, and will be looking for substantially more.
Matt O'Reilly admitted himself a few months ago that the speculation and bid from Atletico Madrid in January had distracted him a bit, because it was obviously a big club, and it was something that maybe had played in his mind, maybe did contribute to a slight dip in form at one point last season. But the fact he played against DC United, scored a couple of goals, you'd expect him to be involved against Manchester City tonight. That'll be another reason, do you think, Celtic will be relaxed, as you say, because he's out there, he's playing games, he's worn the captain's armband and a couple of them as well.
Yeah, and listen, everybody's very impressed with the development of Matt O'Reilly. £1.5 million, I think he was, from MK Dons. Last season, he was something in the region of 18 goals and 15 assists from that central midfield position. As Brendan Rodgers said there, he's still a young man. If he has to stay another 6 months or 12 months at Celtic, it's not a calamity for anyone, Andrew. And I think you look at the clubs of injury, the Atletico Madrid are a bigger club than Atalanta. I understand his head being turned in January. I'm not too sure his head will be turned by interest from Atalanta. I think Matt O'Reilly will set his own sights higher than that.
Is having more clubs interested in Matt O'Reilly, can that only be a good thing for Celtic?
Oh, it can only be a good thing for Matt O'Reilly as well, because it drives the transfer fee up for Celtic, and it'll probably drive the wages up for Matt O'Reilly as well. So it's a good time for Matt O'Reilly, it's a good time for Celtic, because they are in the driving seat on this.
Well, let's hear from Brendan Rodgers speaking about Kasper Schmeichel, because obviously one of two new goalkeepers that have been brought in. He says he's the perfect replacement for Joe Hart.
It was clear what we needed after Joe leaving, and that was someone who is at the very highest level, who's a competitor, who's a winner, and obviously can really support and help this young group of players. And there's nobody better than Kasper for that. So I'm absolutely delighted. I'm delighted for him that he's going to get the Celtic experience, which is a really incredible experience, because it's such a massive club, Celtic, but a real family, small family inside it. So, I'm delighted he's here.
I remember previously on the show we had a discussion just about what profile of goalkeeper you thought Brendan Rodgers would go for to replace Joe Hart, whether it was going to be a similar mould of an experienced goalkeeper that's played at a high level, whether it was maybe going to be a younger goalkeeper with potential and sell on value. Are you surprised they went down the Kasper Schmeichel route, or does it make more sense when you look at the fact that Voyami Sinisalo is coming as well to learn under him? And you would assume the plan is that essentially when Kasper Schmeichel eventually retires, they'll hope that Voyami Sinisalo is ready to step in as the next number one.
Well, listen, my understanding is, you know yourself, Joe Hart intimated back in February that he was going to hang up his gloves. I think at that stage, Celtic's preferred route would be to get a guy at 25 or 26, a guy who could develop at Celtic and maybe in 3 or 4 years' time could still be sold and make a bit of money. They had various targets in Europe that they looked at, and they couldn't get the deals done for all manner of reasons. It got to the stage that they were 7 days away from flying out for pre-season. They hadn't made a signing of any kind. Adam Ida wasn't back, Paolo Bernardo wasn't back, there wasn't another goalie in the building. And I think at that point the decision was made that they would go down a different route. Sinisalo's always been one who was going to come in as a number two, one for the future. That's been earmarked for a considerable period of time. But I think they just decided to press the button on Kasper Schmeichel in the last 10 days after deciding that they weren't necessarily going to get the profile of goalkeeper they might have preferred.
Just on the topic of Celtic goalkeepers, looks as if Benjamin Seagreist is set to seal his move to Rapid Bucharest. Just a curious case all round, wasn't it? Because he looked very good at Dundee United. At the time, a lot of people saying it was a very shrewd signing on a free transfer, looked a very reliable backup, and then didn't even make matchday squads for a lot of his time at Celtic.
You find that, and you've seen that with both halves of the Old Firm over many, many years, Andrew. You see goalkeepers excelling at provincial clubs. Lucas Soluska was another at Dundee United who went to Celtic with high hopes. Benjamin Sigrist looked terrific at Dundee United, goes to Celtic, and you then just realise the size of the step up from a provincial club to playing for one of the Old Firm. And Benjamin Sigrist just couldn't bridge the gap. He just wasn't of a sufficient quality to get into that Celtic first team ahead of Joe Hart, as it was at the time. And he's moving on. And you have to wish him well with Neil Lennon in Bucharest.
Well, Celtic fans, any thoughts on Casper Schmeichel, Matt O'Reilly, the friendly against Manchester City? If you like tonight, give us a call, 01419511025. We'll go to the phones and speak to George, who is a Rangers fan in Pollock. George, what are you thinking tonight?
Hi. Well, I'm just thinking that everybody seems to be panicking too much about what's happening in Rangers, and obviously social media's got us finished already and they've not even started. But I totally disagree. I think Mr. Clement is a lot cleverer than people think he is. I think he's got something up his sleeve to come out with. And I don't believe for one minute that Tavernier will be leaving Rangers. I don't believe Goldson will be leaving Rangers. And I'd just like to know your thoughts on it.
What's that something you think Philip Clement's got up his sleeve, George?
I think he's a clever man. I think he's brought in some of these young players. And I think that there'll be other players coming into Rangers. I think there'll be players with experience before the window's closed. And I don't think Rangers are in panic for money, which everybody seems to be putting across.
That has come from Philip Clement, though, in terms of he said Rangers need to sell before they can buy.
All of this has come from Philip Clement. More or less, I mean, George, his remarks in the Netherlands 10 or 12 days ago, this is what has sent the Rangers fans on social media into a tiz, if you like. He has said, as Andrew said, Rangers need to sell before they can buy. He has said every player, and that includes Tavernier and Goldson and Cantwell and whoever else you like to say, everyone else is for sale, with the exception of Jack Butland. He has said he doesn't think the squad, as it stands today, is capable of competing in the Champions League. These are all, this isn't my opinion, this isn't Andrew's opinion, this is the opinion of the Rangers manager. And I think that is what has upset Rangers fans, what is annoying them, what is distressing them at the minute. And this is why people believe that the futures of the likes of Tavernier and Goldson are more uncertain than they've ever been in the lengthy spells with the club.
Well, I totally disagree with that. You know, as a Rangers, as a long life Rangers fan, I totally disagree with it. You know, and I think basically my opinion of it is everybody's reading too much into what is happening off field at the moment. And I know everybody's saying about Clement saying this and saying that, but believe me, there's more to come than every fan and everybody thinks. Don't be fooled by what you're hearing.
So Rangers fans shouldn't be, what you say, fooled by what Philip Clement is saying? Are you not believing what he's saying then? Is he playing mind games?
No, I'm not believing one word there. Not one word there, I believe. And as far as I'm concerned, when the season starts, everybody will find out how clever this man really is.
Do you think this is some kind of double bluff? He's saying this to lull people into a false sense of security, if you like?
Yes, I do. 100%. I do. Because he knows what the way the other side of the city thinks and the other side of the city works. He's not a foolish man. And he's quite clever in what he's doing as well, bringing young players in. And believe me, he'll keep the players to give the experience to the younger players, and he'll be ready for the season starting.
When he says the likes of Hamza Igamani, Clinton and Siala, when he says they're not ready for the first team, is he kidding people on with that as well? Do you expect to see them seeing some action early in the season, George?
Yes, I do, 100%. I expect to see them.
It would be quite a bold tactic from Philip Clement to say these things in pre-season for it to then turn out completely different, because I mean the evidence will be in front of everyone, Roger. So if he does say that Hamza Igamani and Clinton Insiala are nowhere near ready to play first team football, and then all of a sudden they're in the starting lineup, if he says Rangers need to sell before they can buy, and then they end up buying players before they sell. Rangers fans won't know what to believe from Philip Clement going forward.
Listen, it's a very fair point. I mean, I tend to think you have to take what the manager says at this time of the season at face value. He hasn't seemed wholly happy with his lot in pre-season. You'll maybe see more in the next few days after Birmingham tomorrow night. I think they'll await Union Berlin on Saturday afternoon. And then after that, very quickly, the season is upon them. Away to Hearts, away to either Dinamo Kiev or Partizan Belgrade. I can't imagine you would take either of those teams lightly. And then life at Hampden begins. And, you know, Rangers fans, none of us know how the Rangers team will adapt to Hampden as a temporary home.
George, the league season is less than 2 weeks away. Are you expecting there to be big changes in the Rangers team between now and that game at Tynecastle on the 3rd of August?
No, not really. I'm expecting maybe two or three players in.
That's still quite a lot of business, Roger.
I would say that's a lot of business.
Where are you expecting it, George? What sort of areas is Philip Clement needing to target?
Well, I definitely think maybe another striker, a defender, maybe another midfielder. Otherwise, I think Rangers are okay. I know I might be sceptic that everybody else is thinking, but I don't believe for 1 minute that Rangers are as far away as everybody makes out there.
Yeah, George is saying he's heard negativity from other Rangers fans. We've heard it on this show. Well, we've had more than one Rangers fan over the past few days that's said Rangers will be competing between second and third rather than first and second. Where do you land on it in terms of where the Rangers squad currently is? What you think Rangers will do between now and the end of the transfer window?
Well, if you can take Philip Clement at his word, then they will need to start shifting players out to allow them to bring players in. If they can move on, for argument's sake, Goldson and Cantwell and Wright, then George might get the three players in that he wants to get. And some of those players are on very healthy salaries at the football club. You know, so if you can bring in transfer fees and free up those salaries, there may well be the scope there for Clement to bring in three, you know, a player to replace each one as they go. But a lot, you know, directors of football, managers, they will tell you one of the hardest parts of any transfer window is moving out the players that are surplus to requirements, Andrew.
I did see newspaper reports this morning, certainly one that was linking Rangers with a move for Lauren Shanklin. There was a lot of talk about that in January, but there didn't seem to be any sort of concrete interest from Rangers at all. It seemed to be a lot of external noise about it, certainly. Is that one you still feel could happen?
I don't know. I actually thought it was one that may well have happened in January, and then nothing happened at all. If you remember, it was a Rangers Hearts game when Philip Clement went onto the pitch after the game, kind of put an arm around Lauren Shanklin. People, including myself, were on this show saying, well, you'll know him from his days in Belgium and maybe he fancies him, and nothing happened. So Lauren Shanklin, between January and July, is obviously 6 months closer to the end of his Hearts contract. Do Hearts, who didn't want to sell him in January, are they now thinking, if we don't let him go this summer, we risk losing him for nothing at the end of his deal? I don't know what's changed, if indeed anything's changed.
Well, thank you to George. Rangers fans, do you agree, disagree with what you've heard? Give us a call. Celtic fans, maybe you've got some thoughts on what Brendan Rodgers had to say about Matt O'Reilly. Give us a call, 01419511025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna in the studio with me, Andrew McLean. Let's go straight back to the phones because Billy is a Rangers fan in Milton. Billy, what are you thinking tonight?
I would like to take the previous caller, George, to task on. I mean, he was saying, speaking about Philip Clement, I think he's a great manager. No? I mean, with the signings he's already done with Diamande and the likes of getting Abdullah Sima in for nothing, all the rest, he is a good manager.
Abdullah Sima was the summer before, wasn't he? Was Michael Beale. Michael Beale signing.
Right, well, Diamande for a kick-off. No? I mean, he certainly knows what he's doing. But as far, I mean, he said Conor Goldson and Tarr will be there at the start of the season. I definitely think Goldson's away. think Tav will be a bit. The one thing, I mean, there's no money at Rangers just now. So he'll need to sell before he buys.
How surprised would you be, Roger, come that game at Tynecastle on the 3rd of August if James Tavernier and Connor Goldson are in the starting lineup for Rangers?
I'd be surprised if they were in the starting lineup. You'd still need to strike a deal, be it with Trabzonspor or Birmingham or Aras Limassol or whoever it's going to be. You still need to strike a deal to get them out the building, if you like. But, I mean, Alec Ray was speaking after the game against Manchester United at Murrayfield on Saturday, already talking about Dujon Sterling as being the right back next season. You look at John Souter and Ben Davis, look as if they're going to be the central defensive partnership at the start of the season, as things stand. It looks to me that Philippe Clement is preparing for a future without Tavernier, without Goldson, without Cantwell, probably without two or three others as well. And he wants them out, as we said, to get a bit of money to spend, but also to free up the considerable wages a lot of these players are on.
How does that Rangers team look for you, Billy, without James Tavernier and Connor Goldson in it?
Well, we've already got through the two serial losers in Lundstrom and Barisic, so getting Tavernier and Goldson, it would be superb.
Is that what you think the fix is, Roger? There's a lot of talk about, you know, there being a mentality at Rangers not winning enough. Is clearing out the likes of James Tavernier and Connor Goldson, who have been there for so many seasons and watched Celtic lift countless trophies and league titles, is that as easy a fix as people seem to make out it is?
No, it's not an easy fix at all. But I think Philippe Clement has reached a time where he's thought, Rangers, with these guys in the team, and you can extend it, as Billy says, to the likes of Barisic and Lundstrom, Rangers, with these guys in the team, couldn't beat Celtic. So if we go into another season with these guys in the team, another year older, how are they going to beat Celtic? So I think he's decided that the old guard have to go, and he's going to bring in his own players. Now, no guarantee to say the new players when they come in, Andrew, are going to beat Celtic. But I think Philippe Clement is now at a stage of his Rangers career, less than a year in, when he's thinking, no, these guys go, I'm bringing in my own players. And if I fail with my own players, then that's fine. But I don't want my reputation to be soured failing with other players.
You talked about the likes of Mohamed Diamandé coming in, Billy. Are you quite confident that if Rangers do move on James Tavernier, they move on Connor Goldson, that the right players will come in to be able to compete for the Premiership title next season?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, as I said, I think Clement's astute and certainly knows what he's doing. But I mean, what George was saying, you know, I mean, he thinks he's got something up his sleeve. Right now, it need to be a magic wand, because there's, I mean, I'm a season ticket holder, and some of the things I watched last season were absolutely putrid.
I do wonder, just like with the signing policy. Billy, Philippe Clement has already said that two of the signings that have been brought in this summer window, Clinton Nsiala, Hamza Egomani, are not ready to play first team football yet. I know that they've been brought in with a view to the future, with potential. Does that not concern you about more potential incomings? Or are you quite happy that they are players that can make an impact down the line, and the players that will be brought in from this point onwards will be able to impact the first team?
Well, I think they'll impact the first team maybe at a later point. I mean, maybe, no. As you said, he's building for the future. I mean, so in my eyes, he certainly knows what he's doing. But the only thing, I mean, the likes of the signings wise, Hefty on Saturday, I mean, the Brazilian. I think we Amad Diallo, who was at Rangers as well, you know what I mean? And it didn't even look the same player, but he turned him inside out to the extent that I think Hefty had to actually check the right boots on the right feet.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much you can read into friendly matches, I suppose, but Hefty is one of the players. He looks more as if just the profile of signing that, with Borna Barisic going out, it looks as if he and Ridvan Yilmaz will be competing for that left-back spot rather than maybe a couple of the other signings that you expect to be a bit further down the line. Billy, not too impressed by him. How much can you judge in a friendly when he's coming up against
it's
player
difficult,
like
but, you know, Billy's not the first Rangers fan to phone the show. I think it was one on last night with yourself and Daz talking about Jefty's supposed shortcomings so far. It would be a surprise to me, given how little first-team football he's played. You know, he didn't play that much when he was in Cyprus. He hardly played at all when he was in Brazil. If he's suddenly ahead of a £5 million left-back in Ridvan Yilmaz, I would think Yilmaz would start the season. If Yilmaz doesn't start the season ahead of Shefty, then I think Yilmaz is within his rights to start asking questions about his own Rangers future.
There had been a report this morning, Billy, linking Rangers with a potential move for Lauren Shankland. Is that something you'd like to see happen in this window?
I would love to see it happening in this window. Do you think it'll happen? No. I think it might be happening in January.
This coming January? You know what I mean? And when he's into his final 6 months of his contract?
Correct. You know what I mean? But Ridvan Yilmaz, he's the best left-back we've got by miles. And he's, to me, an absolute certain starter every game. And look, watching Rangers last year, he was always one of the better players. He's always, his head up, he's looking forward, he's wanting to make forward runs, he's wanting to make forward passes. The boy certainly knows what he's doing. And on a couple of occasions, you actually seen him drifting inside and cutting right through the middle a couple of times. I mean, and having a shot at the end of it.
Does this need to be a real breakout year for Ridvan Yilmaz? Because he has been at Rangers for a good while now. There's been at times where he's not been anywhere near the squad. A lot of that has been because of injury as well. There's been maybe questions about his robustness.
Yeah.
He was certainly the favourite of Philip Clement at left-back towards the end of last season, but does he really need to kick on this campaign?
Andrew, if Rangers are going to challenge Celtic this season, it needs to be a breakout year for Ridvan Yilmaz, for Ben Davis, for John Souttar, for Mohamed Diamandé, for Conor Barron, for Oscar Cortez, for Rabi Matondo. They all need to step up, because if you're looking at the Rangers team that started against Manchester United at the weekend, forget about the performance or the result, just looking at the personnel, that 11 isn't going to challenge Celtic over 38 games for the league title. It just isn't. So players need to step up and play better for Rangers than they have done thus far in their Rangers careers, and they need to add 3 or 4.
Well, thank you to Billy. Let's stick with the phones. James is a Celtic fan in Port Glasgow. How are you, James?
Good evening, Andrew. Roger.
Hi, James.
Roger, 2 points for you, boys. The big buy for Matt O'Reilly from Atalanta. People, it's not the right bid, and I'll tell you why. The 14.5 million was for his right leg. How much would he pay for his left? You know, I'm trying to be funny.
Always good when you have to explain them.
So I'm just saying, I think the bid. My second point is, Roger,
we'll take that first of all, James, and I'll let you come back in about your second point. That seems to be the sort of general consensus for Celtic fans, that they feel that is way off the expectation. There has been talk of what Celtic would expect to get for him. Would you expect Celtic to be looking towards that £25 million pound fee that they got for Jota, that they got for Kieran Tierney?
Of course they will. When I think of more clubs get lured into a sort of auction, if you like, Andrew, they'll get closer to that. Celtic are quite comfortable. You know, you may have heard in this show before, Celtic have a bit of money in the bank. So there's no pressing requirement to sell one of their first team players at the minute. It doesn't strike me Matt O'Reilly at the minute as agitating to go. If you remember 12 months ago, it became clear Jota was very keen to go and embrace the sort of life-changing money on offer in Saudi Arabia, and he was determined he was going to make the deal happen, and that's what happened. I don't think Matt O'Reilly's stamping his foot and saying, I want out at the minute. So Celtic are quite comfortable, and I think the big bid will come from someone for Matt O'Reilly. And you listened to Brendan Rodgers last night. I think everyone at Celtic is quite relaxed and they are happy to wait for that big bid to come.
How do you rate Celtic's chances of managing to keep a hold of him, James?
I think, like Roger, I think the boy seems happy that he'd, I think he'll want to give it another go for the Champions League, because it's 8 games now instead of 6. Then I suppose if someone says, Matt, you're on 20,000 at Celtic, I'm going to give you 60, 70. I think like everybody else would probably jump ship. Hopefully not.
Yeah, is that just a lesson we've had over the years in Scotland, that no matter how happy a player can look, no matter how much it looks as if they love the club they're at, that in football, money talks, big leagues are attractive as well, that you can never really be too convinced that a player is going to stay at any point?
Yeah, and listen, Brendan Rodgers said that himself. It eventually gets to a situation where a player can earn money elsewhere that Celtic simply can't pay him, and that does turn your head. The lad will have ambitions. He was deeply frustrated that he was left out of Denmark's squad for the Euros, Andrew. Notably Morten Vikos now in charge of the Danish team for the Nations League campaign. It'll be fascinating to see if Mark gets back into the squad for those six games in the autumn under a new manager. But he has ambitions internationally. He has ambitions to play in a bigger league, be that England, Italy, Spain, wherever. But as we've said, he's not smashing down Brendan Rodgers' door at the minute, demanding to go, because not only have Celtic yet to receive an offer that is acceptable, I think probably Matt O'Reilly has yet to receive an offer himself that is really life-changing.
What was your next point you wanted to make, James?
Thanks, Andrew. Roger, I've been on about this about four or five times. Again, looking back to how much money we've got in the bank, the biggest fear I've got this season is the central defence. Stephen Welsh and Liam Scales are good enough for the Premiership. Scales played well in Europe, but you've got to look at it and say, if any of the players go, especially our centre-half, Callum Carter-Vickers, we need quality of a similar nature to him or better. Why can't we go and get two players? We've got the money, Roger. Now, I don't know what players Celtic could go for, I couldn't think, but we've got the money, and that is a part of the defence that needs fixing. He's fixed the goalkeeping situation, which is brilliant. I think the central defence is more important than forward line or midfield.
I know, I think Carter Vickers has been a terrific player for Celtic. Liam Scales played far better last season than I would ever imagined Liam Scales was capable of doing, and he's got himself a contract extension and a pay rise as a reward. Neither Navrotsky nor Lagerbielka turned up at all last season. Navrotsky's injured again this pre-season. Lagerbielka's not been seen this pre-season, so I don't think anyone at Celtic could hang their hat on either of those two coming through this season. Stephen Welsh looks to me to be a decent backup, a bit like Anthony Ralston at right back. I don't think Brendan Rodgers would want to rely on Stephen Welsh for 40 games a season. So I do tend to agree with you. I think Celtic need at least one centre-half, and Burnaby's still away out on loan. Greg Taylor's entering the last season of his deal as well, James. I think Celtic could probably do with getting a left-back in.
Just purely down to a numbers game as well, would Celtic have to shift on probably two central defenders to bring one in? Because in terms of first team centre backs, obviously Cameron Carter-Vickers is the first choice. Liam Scales, Stephen Welsh, as James talked about, Mike Navrotsky and Gustav Lagerbielka being there, if they're not going to be involved, causes an issue in terms of numbers and wages as well.
And we're back to the Benji Seagrass thing. I mean, sometimes players look good at other clubs and then you bring them into Celtic and you realise, you know, it's not within them to make that step to become Celtic players. Wouldn't surprise me if Navrotsky and Lagerbielka moved out, even if it's on loan, even if, you know, somebody pays a chunk of their wages, and Celtic just need to take a hit on the rest, because thus far in their Celtic careers, they just haven't turned up.
Well, thank you to James. Still time to get your calls in on 01419511025. You can do that while I tell you about this. Yes, the cash register is back with your chance to win £250,000. It's here to boost your bank balance for the summer. Win, and every penny could be in your bank account in time to spend this weekend. Imagine that, looking at your banking app on Friday night, staring back, it's £250,000. I say banking app, if you are like Hugh Keevans, you won't know what a banking app is. You'll need to go down to your local bank and just ask them. Ask them how much money's in there. Just make sure it's in there.
When you're picking up your new chequebook.
Yeah, exactly. So text yes to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Enter on our website. Online entries are £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday when Gemma Atkinson could be ringing you to win. Just answer the phone within 5 rings and make sure to say the cash register amount, £250,000, paid into your bank account straight after the call. Text yes to 61025 now.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna in the studio with me, Andrew McLean. Into the final week of the 1 hour shows as well. Yes. Back to 2 hours. The competitive action, as we know, is already underway in the Premier Sports Cup. It'd be good to have the league action back,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, and that's all it does. It sort of whets the appetite. I watched Dundee United and United at the weekend, and you see the new signings. Jim Goodwin's added to the Dundee United team that's come into the Premiership. You see Jimmy Tellin, the new manager at Aberdeen. David Gray confirmed at Hibs. Don Cowie confirmed at Ross County. All the signings at all the different clubs. I think I'm going to Motherwell versus Thistle, which is the last of the Premier Sport Cup games on Sunday afternoon. And the draw for the last 16 with Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, Kilmarnock, St Mirren joining the eight group winners and the three runners-up with the best record. The season's suddenly beginning to take shape.
Yeah, some interesting games tonight as well. I think one of the stands out will certainly be Aberdeen against Airdrie, because you look at the way Airdrie have started, an 8-0 win over East Kilbride. They were then 3-1 down to Dumbarton at the weekend, came back to win 4-3 in the dying minutes. Aberdeen have both won both their games as well under their new manager.
Yeah, and listen, this sounds silly. It's actually a big night for Jimmy Tellin tonight, because his team have gone to Queen of the South, won comfortably. They've gone to East Kilbride, won comfortably. This is his debut at Pittodrie as Aberdeen manager. And if there was to be any mishap against this free-scoring Airdrie team, there's no guarantee that Aberdeen will actually come through the group. Look what happened to David Gray at the weekend. Hibs losing at Celtic Hearts by a goal to nil. They suddenly need to beat Peterhead in their final game on Saturday just to make sure that they get through to the last 16. Can you imagine a new manager of Aberdeen and a new manager of Hibs? The first things on their report card are failed to get out a League Cup group.
Looking at the fixtures as well, St Johnstone playing Alloa tonight, just off the back of the news that the main stand at McDermott Park is going to be named after Brown, which is a nice touch.
Quite right, too. Jeff Brown, I think he's now 81 years of age. He has dedicated a fair chunk of about half his life to St Johnstone Football Club, moving them from Muirton Park, which you won't even remember, Andrew, out to McDermott Park. He established them as a force in the Premier League. Under his reign, they won the Scottish Cup twice. They won the League Cup, the Scottish Cup and League Cup together in one season under Callum Davidson. And he's now handed it over to Adam Webb, the American lawyer. And Jeff Brown's reign deserves this type of honour.
Well, let's go back to the phones. Frankie is a Celtic fan in Bishop Briggs. Frankie, what have you got for us tonight?
Hello, how's it going, guys? Okay?
Hi, Frankie.
Not bad.
Hey, Roger, yourself?
Good, thank you. Yeah, you?
It was spot on, loving the weather, loving the weather.
Just rub it in. We're sitting in this studio here, not enjoying any of it.
Listen, I've got 2 points, panel. One of them is, I've heard Chelsea have made two signings.
Completed two signings? You mean on top of the two goalkeepers that have been brought in?
Yes, supposedly. But it's came from a good source. I can't see where it's came from or what it is.
Got any names for us, Frankie? An exclusive here?
They've signed a winger. I believe it's a
transfer window, Frankie. Celtic always sign a winger.
I believe it's a chap from Belgium, and I've signed a midfielder as well.
Paolo Bernardo, by any chance? He's been heavily linked.
I believe it's over and above him.
Would that be if Paolo Bernardo plus one midfielder to be brought in? Would that look like an exit for Matt O'Reilly?
I would probably think so, to be honest. So that's what I've heard. On my second point is, there was a caller, George, on earlier on, and he's very upbeat about what's happened over the other side of the city. And I just wanted to say that if the stadium is not going to be ready, and they can't sign anybody, Rangers can't sign it because they need to sell. I don't think all is upbeat what George has made out to be. I'm trying to be a realist. I'm not having a go at George at all. If my house was falling down and I had no money, then I'm not really sure what I would do after that, to be honest.
I mean, there's certainly not suggestions that Ibrox is falling down. They're sort of building a new accessibility area of the Copeland Road stand. But the one thing that can't be denied is that it is running over time. Rangers are having to play at hand. And is that type of thing the thing that gives you encouragement, Frankie, from a Celtic perspective?
Well, listen, we don't. It's not great for them. But yes, I'm going to be. It's a positive slant on our side. Yes, but it was more a. The two signings, you'll see it maybe in the next 2 or 3 days, and I hope I'm right. you can come back to me if I'm knowing.
Listen, Frankie, I think Celtic will make plenty of signings. If you have a look through and you listen to what Brendan Rodgers has said in the last few days, as James, the previous caller, was saying, maybe a centre back. I think there needs to be a left back. I think there'll be at least one midfielder because, you know, if it's Paulo Bernardo, he only replaces Paulo Bernardo from last season. Odin Thiago Holm has sort of disappeared off the horizon. Kwon has sort of disappeared off the horizon. They were players that Celtic had high hopes for 12 months ago, so they might go out on loan. I think they maybe bring another midfielder in, as we were joking. But Celtic do always sign a winger. And you would think Mikey Johnson might move on in this window. Others might move on in the window. And Brendan himself, speaking at the weekend after the game against DC United, said he wants two strikers. Now, we've assumed that Adam Ida will be one of them, but O has gone. Rocco Vatta, who was earmarked to be the third striker this season, has gone. So there'll be two, whether it's Ida or not, there'll be two front men coming in to compete and back up Kyogo in the new season.
So you're what quite you, on you go, sorry. Frankie.
What I would say is the Ida thing's going to drag on, but I do think it will get done.
So do I.
Yeah.
I think Bernardo will get done as well.
Yes.
The Ida one, even though he's started a couple of friendlies for Norwich, you feel that that one, he'll be a Celtic player again.
Listen, it's almost the flip side of O'Reilly. Celtic are quite comfortable at the minute because they believe they will get a higher fee for Matt O'Reilly. I think Norwich City are quite comfortable at the minute knocking back Celtic's initial interest because I think they think there's probably more money to be had, but I think there's a deal to be done there, Andrew.
So you're feeling quite good ahead of the new season, Frankie?
Yes, I'm getting my confidence. I think it's usually the latter end of the transfer window that Celtic do a bit of business. So yes, I'm going with confidence, very much so.
What about going into the Champions League? It's obviously a new format. There's going to be 8 group games instead of 6. I think it extends into January, so there's no winter break for us. How are you feeling about Celtic's ability to, you know, compete in the Champions League, potentially get through to the new playoff round that there is?
To be told, it's going to be a wee bit of the unknown. However, if we make a couple of signings, add to what we've got, listen, we can have a go at it. That's, I think that's where we're at the moment. So, it's just a bit of the unknown, isn't it? But listen, we're going to have a go. That's what we'll do. And we've not done too well in the past. However, we've got Brendan Rodgers at the helm. So, I think if we make the right signings and add to what we've got, probably lose Matt O'Reilly, but I'm sure they might strengthen in other areas. So, I'm going to be positive.
I'm excited to see this new format. You know, I've read all about it. I know how it's going to operate. I don't think we'll really get a flavour for it until we see how it develops, you know, through the 8 games. But 4 home games, 4 away games, it's different teams. You're not playing the same at home as you are away. It's the same in the Europa League. It's 6 games, I think, in the Conference League. You'd love to see as many of the Scottish teams get into those group stages as possible.
Yeah, because it's one big league format. Teams that finish 1-8 go straight into the last 16. If you finish 9th to 24th, you go into this playoff round of 16 teams. The 8 winners then go into the last 16 to meet the other teams. So we'll
and no safety net below 24th.
No safety net. So we'll see how certainly Celtic will get on. We'll see whether Rangers will join them as well. They've got their European qualifiers coming up. Of course, tomorrow night we will be focusing on St Mirren and Kilmarnock because they'll be building up to their huge European qualifiers that they've got on Thursday night as well. But thank you to Frankie. That's all we've got time for tonight. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for your tweets and calls. Thank you to Roger Hanna in the studio as well. I'll be back tomorrow night. I'll be in the studio with Cammy Bell. Stick around. It's Callum Gallagher. That's up next.